There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby. That's right. This man knows what's up.
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Okay, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Friday, 343-0106 for a text and a call as well. And first, though, let's check in with my buddy Blaine Price at Parrish Tractor and get an update. He and I have not talked in days, so I got to ask you a question. Is that tractor and implement package still on? Yeah, you doing it with the trailer and all that?
It is, Sean. So right now we're running a package special on all of our compact tractors. Buy the tractor with the loader and at least two implements. It can be any two implements, whether it be a bush hog, a spreader, pallet forks, grapple, auger, box blades, what you name it. You buy two implements with that tractor, we're going to throw in a trailer for free and form up that package deal for you. Still offering the zero interest financing through Kubota right now on all of our compacts, as well as our skid steers, mini excavators, side-by-sides, and zero turns. So full line of Kubota here at Parrish Tractor in Robertsdale. Come by, see us. We'll be glad to help.
Okay. Help me with this. Are you still have rental equipment deals going on? I mean, people haven't gotten things planted at their place or at their deer camp, or maybe they want to do work in the backyard. What's happening there?
We've got the deals on all of our rental equipment. We're still running the special. It's going to run through the end of the year on our weekend special. Pick it up on Friday after lunch. Return it to us by Monday at 10 a.m., put less than 10 hours on the machine, you'll only be charged for 1 day instead of 2 days. That qualifies on everything that we have in our rental fleet. It's not just on the tractors or the excavators or skid steers. It's literally on everything in our rental fleet. So come by, see us, take advantage of those weekend specials.
Good stuff. Tell folks how to find you.
Well, right here at Parrish Tractor in Robertsdale on Highway 59. Come by, see us Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. And Saturdays 8 till noon, you can give us a call at 251-947-4171 and visit us online at parrishtractor.com.
Good stuff, Blaine. We'll talk soon.
Thank you, Sean.
All right, there goes Blaine over at Parrish Tractor. Let's check in with my buddy John Sharp from AL.com. And I really actually have not caught up with where you are in the college football rankings. Have you, has something changed since last time? Have you up in the top 50? Where are you?
I don't know, Sean, but I'll tell you what, I'm still doing it. I'm doing it this week. I'm putting in about, each week I'm about 500, so I don't know. I don't think that has me in the upper echelon, but a little bit better than last year. I didn't have a good year last year. So it's just, you know, I applaud those who have 8 and 2 weeks consistently.
Yeah.
I don't know how they do it.
Have you,
you
see,
don't.
So what we're talking about, y'all, is college pick'em for FM Talk. You know, we're talking, and John plays along with all of us. There's some of these people, like, they ought to, I'm not telling them to go do something, but they should quit what they're doing and go be a professional gambler or something. Like, there's some people in our college pick'em that are amazing.
Yeah, and I know there's a lot of resources out there if you really want to get into it. I spend maybe about half hour at the most looking at all that stuff
minutes.
Each week. Well, that's pretty good. Maybe it's, and there's been 1 week or two where I probably spent about 5 to 10. But you know, I'll peruse some of the free websites. I don't spend money for this stuff, but there are opportunities up there if people really want to dive into this to invest in college pick'em or NFL pick'em or whatever kind of pick'em they want to do.
Okay. Well, we're doing it the old-fashioned way, kind of, you and I. So that we, you know, we can be proud of our performance. I got to see if I'm If I can break it, if I can get in the top 100, it'd be something, but we'll have to watch it. You know, John, I'm absolutely going to bury the lead here and talk about the hottest story. No, well, the most recent story I want to talk to you about right now. And this one is the this is very interesting to me. So you have the story out today. Mobile council member elect likely to be sworn in despite pending residency ruling. Now, this is the Samantha Ingram saga, right? That, I mean, there was a lawsuit filed by Reggie Hill, right? And then that went away. And then the election comes and goes. William Carroll loses to Samantha Ingram. And now there's another lawsuit filed if she is really allowed to be running for office in Mobile.
Yeah, that's correct. You laid it out well there. Councilman Carroll has filed this lawsuit. Samantha Ingram's legal team is seeking to get it dismissed. We were supposed to have it was tentatively scheduled, but Judge Hambright determined that the legal briefings filed by both sides, both Carroll's legal team, led by Jay Ross, Attorney Jay Ross, a lot of folks probably are familiar with in this area, and then Samantha Ingram's legal team, which a part of that is Wanda Cochran, who used to be a council attorney, that, you know, the judge determined that those legal briefs were good to go. She's going to take a look at them, and both sides expect a ruling sometime next week. What day, we don't know. Of course, that's up to the judge. Not anticipating it today. That would be a surprise, but we'll take a look before the end of the day to see if anything pops up in Alicorp, which is where those filings are typically first released publicly. But yeah, you know, that's kind of where we're at. November 3rd is the swearing date. I talked to both attorneys. They anticipate her being sworn in no matter what the judge rules. And we'll have some sort of swearing in, and Samantha Ingram will be the counsel member on November 3rd, but where this case goes, we don't know. It could depends on how the judge rules. It could be appealed to the Supreme Court, Alabama State Supreme Court, and that issue is the Zogby Act's mm-hmm. Definition of residency versus more recent state law, which is less restrictive. The Zogby Act's residency requirement is for 1 year for a city council member to live in the city of Mobile, or in the state of Alabama, in order to run for a city and Mobile council seat. And the state of Alabama's law that was put into place in 2003 and then, I guess, recodified in 2021 is for 90 days. And so that's the discrepancy in the dispute here. You know, the Zogby Act, which rules Mobile's form of government, implemented in 1985 versus these more recent state laws in 2003, 2021. So it's an interesting decision. It's an interesting court case. And, yeah, it may go to the state Supreme Court.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. It seems to have the trappings of that. I mean, it's, you know, we talk about federal supremacy, right, in laws out there. But does the state have that, a supremacy of law that goes beyond a municipal law? You know, could they do that?
Well, that's the argument that the Ingram side is taking. They also are arguing, too, that there's a form that Samantha Ingram filled out back in June in order to, you know, she wrote out, it's called Statement of Candidacy. Every candidate who runs for office fills out this form that's in the city clerk's office, and it does have that 90-day, I've been a resident of the state for 90 days. And so, you know, they're making the argument, hey, this is on the Statement of Candidacy form. And of course, the Carroll side saying, look, you know, Zogby Act is the rule. You know, this is how this governs Mobile City form of government. There's nothing that supersedes it at this point. There's no reason to disqualify or remove this 1 year residency requirement that was implemented in 1985. And that the legislature, when they went forward with the 90-day requirement, decided not to change Mobile's statute as well. So, yeah, that's kind of where we're at. I mean, both sides are making interesting arguments. They're filed in the briefs that have been updated in the last couple of weeks. And, yeah, it's up to the judge to make a determination. But however she rules, and again, don't be surprised if it doesn't get appealed to a higher court. And there could be, like I said, it could be some ramifications for the Zogby Act in general. It'd be interesting to see what happens. It really does. the Zogby Act, we just celebrated it. It's what, 40 years old mm-hmm. now, and yeah, this is a big magnifying glass on it at this point.
100%. All right, here's I am interested in watching this. I was trying to find earlier today, getting ready for today's show, because I was going to make this great segue to see if there was state code on what was obscene or lewd, right? Like, and there were some things that were obvious out there, and I was trying to, I don't know, go look at, like, can you have T-shirts with curse words on it? Or I've seen people with stickers on their vehicle, or drawings of nudity versus, we know nudity's against code, but drawings of nudity, because I was trying to figure out if there's a precedent set here on whether you could wear a inflatable penis costume to a protest. And if the state had ever ruled on that, I couldn't find it. Maybe you did. You're a better researcher than I. Can you bring me up to date on this story that hit me on the side of a mountain in Utah? And I said, wow, what a week not to be on the air, of the arrest of a protester in a penis costume.
Well, and the irony, it's being done in Fairhope, right?
Yes.
This is the discussions about the word obscenity and what constitutes obscene behavior. Obscene literature, obscene this, obscene that, has been based out of this city for the last year or so over questions about library books and where they're placed in the Fairhope Public Library. And so the irony of all ironies is this incident occurs during a No Kings rally in downtown Fairhope. And what happened is a 61-year-old woman was wearing a costume of questionable sorts, and was tackled by was arrested and detained by three Fairhope police officers. The videos are widespread. They are what they are. She was charged with two misdemeanors, one being resisting arrest and the other one being disorderly conduct. Disorderly conduct is the one that's of issue at this point. It stems from the content or the costume that she was wearing. The argument is whether or not it was obscene by the definition of obscenity. You talk to constitutional scholars, they have some great questions about that. You know, does a goofy penis outfit
right.
constitute obscenity when it's clearly not meant? It's meant more of a political statement, a political protest versus drawing any kind of what you would call sexual arousal from the fact
right.
that
it's not
this person is wearing the costume. It's
right.
not purient is what you would say. Yeah,
yeah, that's why I had to learn. Lord knows that my teachers in the communications department all those decades ago at the University of Alabama, I asked about 20 million questions about purient interest and all that. But this does it's more comical. By the way, side note too, my friends in law enforcement, whoever got called on to have to handcuff a lady in the giant penis costume, God bless you, because you're going to make national news. But I do have a question about this, and I've kind of got some idea when I got back what folks around here were saying. But to me, it's like it's a free speech. I don't, you know, if it's not, we know the law says somebody can't be naked like that, but a comical rendering of something, does that... I don't know. I mean, does that shut all of Mardi Gras down with the fake booby T-shirts and all that? You know, I just don't know. I mean, it seems like a slippery slope.
Well, you know, one of the attorneys I talked to said, look, you know, we're going to go after this. We're going to go after this woman over this whole situation. I mean, what does that mean for every bachelorette party that runs around mm-hmm. downtown Mobile? Now, you talk to folks in Fairhope. They're arguing the community standard side of things. Like, mm-hmm. we're not Bourbon Street or we're not downtown Mobile. We're Fairhope. But I don't know how that might, you know, whether or not that the fact that this was a political protest makes this a little bit of a difficult subject, perhaps for Fairhope and how they handled this situation.
I mean, to me, that
we'll
gives it more protection. I mean, this, and you're the journalist yes. that reports on facts. I'm editorial, but to me, if something wouldn't be okay at one point, I would probably, in a political protest, give it be more deferential to it than I would if they were just dumb kids on the, you know, standing on the corners kid at school was letting out or something.
That's correct, and that's why, you know, she has an attorney, the 60-year-old old lady that was the subject of this situation. She does have an attorney. He claims that her constitutional rights were violated.
That's where their argument stands. This will go before a municipal court in Fairhope on November the 5th. And not often does municipal court hearings draw a lot of media attention.
This one.
But I guarantee this one will. So, yeah, here we go. But, you know, we've had this whole discussion about prurient interests and obscenity and all that in Fairhope for the last year, having to do library books, and do certain library books meet that definition of obscenity. And that's become an issue that the state library board's tackled for the last, you know, year as well. There's so many different viewpoints on what constitutes sexual explicit, obscenity, prurient interests. Certain books should be along in the youth section versus an adult section. And this has all been grounded in the city of Fairhope. And now we got this issue involving a protester and this question as well. So I just think the backdrop of the two issues is kind of interesting at the same time. Not too many cities deal with something like this. Two different, completely different issues, but also involving the same issue, the same controversies, I guess. It's kind of odd.
You wonder if this will be they'll be teaching this in a textbook in the future. They'll be saying, okay, this is we call this the Fairhope chapter. You know, kids reading at J schools or communication schools around the country. They'll be like, oh, we're studying this week, Fairhope, Alabama. And here are two stories, and where the rulings went.
Well, the thing about Fairhope, too, their city council meetings can be quite interesting. So it'll be of interest to see if this comes up as part of a public discussion at some point.
Okay. Y'all, if you want to read more about this, of course, AL.com. If you want to read about this and find out why John makes the picks he does each week in College Pick'em, how do they find you on social media?
At JohnSharp99.
All right. Good stuff, John. And a little bit of good luck this weekend. Not too much, because I got to... I got to beat you.
Well, same to you.
All right, there you go.
Three minute picks. Good luck.
Fair enough. There he goes, John Sharp. And we're coming right back. More of Midday Mobile just minutes away.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 125, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile on a Friday. There are all the particulars about this show. Hi. Let's go to some phone calls here, and then we'll get back to a stack of text. Yeah, can you imagine my, chagrin on the side of a mountain out there in Utah going, and this is the week this happens, and I'm out here? Get your take on it. And let's go first to, let me see who's first up. Is it, I think Derek's up first. Hey, Derek.
Hey, what's going on? Yeah, I saw the pictures of Utah. We're here dealing with this, and you're on the side of the mountain.
I loved it.
I know. Trust me, I just live in the mountains. It's literally, give me something to look at. Either give me water or give me mountains. Mm-hmm. But the picture I saw, dude, why are you back? God, man.
Work, yeah.
Yeah, I know, for real. All right, so, of course, Derek ruins everything, I wanted to ask him, because I need some clarity, and I apologize, and I've tried to kind of nail down this question a couple of times with Jerry, and so I've got two questions down to simple yes or no's, and since I can't ask him, I'll ask you and your audience. So, is he willing to use his congressional powers to further his religious beliefs? And second part of that question, is he willing to sacrifice other people's children for said beliefs? That's it. I don't know how in the world they danced around and got all the way to trade with China, war with China, and all of that. But it comes down to something simple as that. Is he willing to use his congressional powers, given to him that by the Constitution, elected by his district in Alabama, for his own personal beliefs? We've had this discussion as well, personal religious beliefs. And are you willing, even the people that are listening to this right now, are you willing to sacrifice other people's children for your personal religious beliefs? Is that what Congress is there for? And that's it, man. That's it. I just need clarity, Sean. Is he willing to send my child off to war for his beliefs? And I'm not saying I disagree with his beliefs, but is that the role of the office?
Yeah, and one of the things I've asked before, too, is, if you have a strict interpretation from religion here, is it to the Jewish people or is it to their state? And I understand you can make the argument that they're one and the same.
Huge argument right there.
You know, I mean, if the Jews could be another. What about Jews in another country? What if they were being attacked by a group? Then would we do the same thing for them because it's about the Jewish people? I don't think, you know, Scripture is saying the politically defined state of Israel.
Well, I know. And so one of the problems I have with all of this is that, do you know where the second largest Jewish population outside of Israel is?
Boynton Beach, Florida.
No, Tehran. Tehran, Iran. I'm not kidding. Google it. So I don't know what all this is about. But I don't know that for somebody to be elected to Congress through the powers of the Constitution, and then you're throwing in religion on top of that. I'm like, hold on, time out. Let's ask Jefferson. I'm pretty sure we were told about this a few hundred years ago.
There you go.
So that's it. You know, I mean, I can't do anything about it. I'm one guy.
Right.
So anyway.
But you're a citizen just like the rest of us, man. And your opinion's, you know, is just as important as every other citizen. They can debate and disagree, and that's what makes us great. All right, folks, holding on. We'll get to you in just a second. 343-0106. News is next.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
1:34, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile on this Friday. I know it's October, but my friends at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry are always ahead of the curve here because my friend Anna and I were just talking off air about Christmas. Anna, really, Christmas? Y'all got stuff in already for gift ideas?
Only ones who have Christmas stuff. Of course we have Christmas stuff.
I mean, because y'all get that. You're ahead of, like, responsible people and Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry go together because people can get their shopping done now in October. Like, what ideas do you have? What Christmas stuff do you have in?
Well, we have, of course, jewelry is at the top of the list for me. but we do have, you're laughing at me, but we have other gifts, like for people that collect paper money, coins, or stag bullion. So we have gold and silver available. I've mentioned this to Dalton earlier this week, but we did put a really pretty, almost like a heart of the ocean type of necklace in the case in white gold the other day. And then today I actually put a really nice emerald cut, 1-carat diamond set in platinum in the ring, in the case, along with a ruby ring.
Very nice. All right. So you can get your Christmas shopping done early and with a great selection to see them at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Anna, your job now is to give them directions. How do they find, if they've never been there, how do they find you?
We're a block west of Little Flower Catholic School and Church. We're at 2204 Government Street. And you can also call us. Phone number is 251-725-1590 if you need further directions here. You can find us on Facebook or on our website.
Good stuff, Anna. We'll talk soon.
Sounds good.
All right. There goes Anna at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. I get to the phones here. I do, and we'll read a lot of these texts, but it is the same question we've had before. It's the, because you could say both words. It's the truck nuts argument, right? If people can ride around with those, or even like stickers that, you know, then can't you wear that costume to the protest? I do think this goes further. I think this becomes bigger than just an individual case. I'll go to the phones and Robert up first. Hey, Robert.
Hey.
Hey. John. Yeah, man.
You picked a bad week to be out of town.
I know.
I concur with some of your other people.
I said the same
thing.
At any rate,
I know they hate Robert from Sam's is agreeing with him, but, you know, listen, you know, I look at this from a little bit different angle. I mean, it's a loser for the city of Fairhope. It's going to cost them some money.
Mm-hmm.
It may be bigger than they think. It's no question. This has been argued all over the country. It's been to the Supreme Court. I believe I'm telling you right. Now, some lawyer out there may differ about, you know. But did anybody besides me notice that this officer who turned around and said, I'm not going to allow this? So, I'd like a list of what he – I don't get over that way very much, but I need to know a list of his personal laws that he enforces because – you know, I'm not sure they're there officially on the books, but, you know, I don't want to go to jail under any circumstances. But did anybody besides me notice he had to put a 62-year-old compliant, she seemed very compliant what I saw. I wasn't over there, but I've seen on video.
Mm-hmm.
Face down. He couldn't have told. I'm sure if he had said, turn around and put your hands behind your back or whatever. Why do they have to throw everybody on the ground?
Like I said, and I was getting this in bits and pieces while I was gone and delved into it some sitting at the Dallas airport yesterday.
Well, that's yesterday.
On video. Yeah, I saw that.
I'm pretty sure I'm on video.
But they said,
he turned around
Robert, hold
and
on.
Says, I'm not
Robert,
going. Okay.
Yeah, I heard that.
All
but
right,
I'm saying,
right.
But they're saying that she was resisting. Now, one thing is, I don't know what happened before the camera was cut on. You know, that's their argument is it was because she was resisting and that's why she was cuffed the way she was. I mean, can you imagine being the police officer has to cuff an inflatable penis? I don't, you know, but... You know, that's what they were. That is what I've read. That it was because it was refusing. They asked her. I think if I get this right, some of you will correct me. Who's been with it all week? But they asked her to remove the costume. They said she could be there, but she couldn't have the costume on, and she refused to remove the costume. And then they said she was resisting arrest. I think is what I've read at this point.
Well, there's just been. I look at more of this stuff than you have time to. And I got curious about, I think me and you have been back and forth on these type of subjects for about 2 or 3 years, something like that. And it reminded me of the most egregious time I've seen a cop throw a small female on the ground was in, this is just a comparison, was in a Texas resource officer, held a woman there to pick up her child, and she looked like a school mom. I mean, we're not mm-hmm. talking about a street personality. We're talking about a lady that was at school, and she got confused about the pickup, and she backed up. Of course, the cops go, oh, she was in backing up in the wrong. Anyway, so you can watch the video. But he held this woman's face in a fire ant bed while she was resisting. If somebody held your face in a fire ant bed, would you be moving around a little bit too?
I'd say. I haven't seen that story, but yeah,
okay.
I would.
Okay. Since Skynet has taken over Google, it's worked it's working a lot better. You can punch in Texas Resource Office holds woman's face in fire ant bed. It'll come right up. As a matter of fact, you ought to have your guy. You're set up like Rogan. Have somebody throw that on the big screen for you.
Right. I don't have a Jamie. I don't have one of those. I am my own Jamie, Robert. Thank you for the call. I will look that up after I put my wrap up the show and do some post show stuff. I will look it up. Thank you. Lee's line open at 343-0106. We get caught up on these texts here, too. Let's see. CB Carl. Hey, CB Carl says, welcome back. Well, thank you. Have you seen Sheriff Burch's wife's new Halloween decorations? I did see those. I thought that was funny. The change to the skeletons there. This unnamed texter, I think unnamed texter. Please, once again, give yourself a nickname, first name, something. Texture says, do you think the $7 million at No Kings is a good estimate because some claim $1,500 in Mobile alone? I asked a couple of hosts if I think that number has got any validity. What does your guest think? Oh, that would have been for John. I'm sorry, I did not get that while John was on. I don't know if he was at the... I know that Leanna did a great job. She went down. If you go to our Facebook page, she did the video of the protest. You can go down. Go to facebook.com/FMTalk1065 and watch that. Let's see. Thank you for the welcome backs. Jason, thank you very much. Unnamed texter. Hey, Sean, were you in any Jeremiah Johnson locations in Utah? And then says, India is the world's largest democracy and former British colony, and we don't need them driving trucks. Adios. This is from CA. All right, CA, I was, the film, you talking about where Jeremiah Johnson really did his stuff or where they filmed the boot? They filmed a lot of that near St. George, Utah. That's where I flew into. I was hunting about an hour and a half north of St. George. Got a friend in the, two friends, in the Beaver, Utah area, and that's where we were. It's a beautiful country. Chris is strutting here. Says, I'm at number 19, I guess, in college pick'ems, kicking your butt. Okay, listen, get in line. There's like 170 people kicking my butt right now in college pick'em, but the weekend has not happened yet. I'm going to come roaring back. Michael says, Sean, it's fun. Oh, talking about the Israeli dispensationalism. Said Sean, it's fun research. Prior to the theory, all of Christendom believed, as St. Paul taught, that the church was the new Israel and the followers of Christ were under the new covenant. That's part of why the Scofield Bible was created, to sway the uneducated masses of evangelicals on the validity of this new claim. It's a fun deep dive if you want to see what caused this recent warning. Over 2,000 by the creation of the 1948 Israel of Israel. Okay. Get some downtime this weekend. Might do that. My buddy John says, what about the truck nuts? We'll put there. They put it on and drive around. Seems like the same thing. They need to be arrested for the same thing. That's where I am with this. I know that this has been discussed a bunch this week, but I'm new here. I'm back. It wasn't for purient reason. It's a silly version, right? I don't know. I mean, Fairhope has their standards; they're going to enforce it. But I think it was a unforced error, and also in deference to my law enforcement buddies. What if you got called to make the arrest on the inflatable penis? I'd say, hey, I'm going to work crowd control over here. I'll see y'all in a little bit. DEI texter, the Fairhope woman is about to get paid. When that happens, expect more truck nuts and penis costumes going forward. Of course, yes, I agree with you, DEI texter. If something like that happens, people will... I am Spartacus as well kind of moments will happen. Let's see. Texter says, don't forget, they said she tried to waddle away. I didn't hear that. It's an unnamed texter. Can we put a little blame on the woman at the No King exclamation protest dressed as a large penis in public? Come on. But once again, this is not about whether it's a good decision or not. It's like the arguments I get in about First Amendment rights. You know, when I defend First Amendment rights, people say, well, then you'd like that thing they're talking about. No, I don't. But I like our Constitution more. Like this idea that you shouldn't see something that bothers you. It's not how it works in this republic. That's why I was trying to dig around in Alabama code, and I really couldn't find. There's some obvious things, right? It's easy to say, it can't be person be naked in public, and those. Okay, the code's there, but what about a comical representation of that? I mean, what about the T-shirts that look like, you know, you see them in Mardi Gras, like. You know, got a set of boobies on them, but it's a T-shirt. Like, is that against the law? It is a slippery slope, you know, jokes intended. That if you say that is against the law, that you can't have that costume on, that that's indecent, that where something that kind of looks like it, like. I don't know where you start. It doesn't have like a distinct break point to me to where you can say this is okay. I'm going to show you an example of what's okay and what's not. It's can you do that? People say, well, you shouldn't be seeing that. But what things shouldn't you be seeing? Well, this is interesting too. Texture says, I think it just goes back to sense of humor, just like the sheriff's decorations. People just lighten up. That is well said. Maybe there's an analog there we need to think about. The reaction to the decorations from weeks ago at Sheriff Birch's house that his wife put up, right, that caused the flare up there. And then the latest update to it versus somebody using a penis costume to express their political beliefs. I mean, you got to even... Yes, you love what Trump's doing, love President Trump and all that, but does this other person over there that doesn't have the right to do something you might find distasteful or silly or still got the right? We'll see. The courts are going to work on this one for sure. All right, more of your texts and calls when we get back. 343-0106.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
But welcome back, Midday Mobile, Friday style. Glad to have you along. Good time to check in with my buddy David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars and talk about inventory, David.
Hey, bud. Yeah, we've got some good inventory. I think we bought about 12 this week. We got two Camrys that hadn't made it yet. They'll be here this afternoon. Two late model Camrys, really nice cars. One's an XLE, which is going to be hard loaded. It's have sunroof, everything on it. Six cylinder leather. And Dalton and I talked about while you were on your hiatus the other day. I bought a 2020 Corvette with 240 miles on it.
What?
Let that register. A 2020 Corvette with 240 miles on it. Now, it's probably got 600 on it now because I've been driving it. But it is brand new. I mean, it's a beautiful car. It's called Elkhart Lake Blue. And it's got every option you can put on the car. The car was, it's loaded to the gills, and it is very, very nice. Like I say, it's sat in a climate-controlled garage down in Kissimmee, Florida, since the day it was bought. And the old man just got tired of hanging on to it and wanted to sell it. So it's a good deal for somebody that's looking for something that's not just a collectible. You know, that's the first year of that body, that C8 car. And it's a LT3 with all the packages. I mean, it's got the wheels and everything. It's a beautiful car.
Wow. Okay. Somebody wants to check out that vehicle and a whole lot more. How they find you?
Well, that one's at my house. The rest
get
of
it
them...
back to LCM, okay? Get it back there.
The rest of them are we're at Highway 90 and Plantation in Theodore. It's 1 mile south of I-10, exit 15A. You can give us a call, 251-375-0068. Go to the website. There's pictures of everything on the website. The Camrys, like I said, they'll be here this afternoon. We'll get pictures of them on there first thing in the morning probably. And if you need us, just give us a call.
Good stuff, David. We'll talk Monday.
All right, buddy. Enjoy your weekend.
All right, you too. There goes David at LCM Motor Cars with a vet. How do you... 240, even if something collectible, I think I would put more miles on it than that, but it's your gain. All right, to the text line. Let me try to catch up on these. Bruce from back last hour. Sorry, Bruce didn't get to this. Just trying to work through them. Said, Sean, I'm with you on blowing up those boats, and why don't we have anything to show for it? They may be blowing up innocent people. Yeah, Bruce, we're in agreement. It's I don't want the drugs coming in, but I do worry about not having due process and just I don't want the drugs coming in, but how do we know for sure we're just blowing up a boat in, you know, international waters that it is the drug dealers? And maybe somebody can explain this. It's been discussed before, but hey, my boat people out there, these are the ones I've seen look like center consoles or go fasters. How many fuel bladders would you have to get a boat from Venezuela to get into the United States? You know, I mean, it's, and by the way, so Don had said on a serious note, I'm sure it's just a matter of time before the environmentalists bring up that point and try to make something of it politically against Trump and his attempts to stop the influx of these horrible drugs killing our U.S. citizens and mainly our children. That argument about there being chemicals and fentanyl in the water. Yeah, don't shut down the deep drop fishery. Don't say, no more snowy grouper because they have fentanyl in them. Let's not do that. Let's see. Make sure I catch up right here. Won't the drugs kill the fish if you don't have to worry about eating the fish? But that's how you would know. Yeah, maybe. Smooth Operator said, I was in fourth place in Pick'em, but had a bad weekend and tied for 11th. You know, enough of y'all up at the upper echelons. I've watched you, Smooth Operator. Y'all in the college Pick'em are just, you're having to be there. By the way, just side note here. What's Jeff say? Give me a second to talk about sports ball. I don't talk about sports a whole bunch on the show. But those of y'all that are like in the top, let's even say top 50 in college Pick'em, you've had to make, you can't just be betting the shirt, you know. You can't be betting, you had to bet some crazier stuff to be where you are. Because somebody who kind of played it conservative in the betting in college Pick'em would not be where y'all are. So good on y'all. Let's see. Sam T said, Sean, good day. Could we find a judge to override their decision? You see what they've done with the dredged waste in the bay dealing. Okay. This is an older one. I'm sorry. But then went on to say, would it matter if there are children around? Okay. So Sam, that's one that's always the argument. It's for the kids, right? You can't have the, penis costume for the kids. Do I think it's a great thing for the kids? No, but do I think that there's things that are out there that happen in public that are constitutionally protected that I don't think is the best things for kids? Yeah, they're still constitutionally protected. And I'm also, I'll tell you this, in the things that worry me, I'm not talking about in a pornographic way, but just displays of just regular nudity. Like, that's, God made us all that way, right? It's, now, am I immature and laugh at things like that? Sure. But that, I mean, that's, I mean, out of, I said that when my kids were young, if they were going to watch something they shouldn't watch and it was horrible violence, or I'm not talking about sex, but it just nudity, and nudity's, I mean, that's just, I just don't have as big a problem with it. To me, you know, terrible violence, I'd rather them not see, you know, if they had to pick one or the other, say, naked people, okay. And naked people, who cares? Let's see, Derek says, notice it's always just one side that pushes it. They hate the Constitution until it benefits them. Yep. It's just, I have a feeling this is going to go down on the side of the person wearing the costume. Tim and Foley, what if this person identified as that item? Would she be considered nude then? I don't know, Tim. This is some high-level thinking. Ben says, I think the whole thing would be considered a violation. All the people with the signs and costumes that close to a major highway were causing traffic to slow down, therefore impeding traffic, which is against law. Okay. Now, that's an argument that makes sense to me. If it's, hey, you can't be in the roadway stopping people, then I support getting them out of the road. But if it's a, hey, you can't wear that costume, not so locked in. This texture says, that costume may be okay in an adult setting. It's not okay where children are present. How do we convince them that their body parts should be protected when those same body parts are made into a joke? I don't see an analog there. I don't think, I really don't. I don't think the fact that somebody's in a goofy penis costume makes them not understand that private parts are, I don't, but that's why we have a whole other week next week to debate just that and a whole lot more. All right. Paul Feinbaum with some good football picks and chat. He's coming up next.